Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
After Further Review Podcast, I'm Pete Doherty along with Eric Baranchek, and we're here to talk about the Green Bay Packers 23-20-3 win over the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday. And Eric, you know, there's been a lot of talk, including by us, about all the young guys on the Packers offense and the, you know, the Packers looking for improvement there. But you saw improvement in a different area on the other side of the ball, defensive line, Devontae Wyatt, Kyle Brooks, Colby Wooden. What'd you see in this game, and what have you seen over, we're basically halfway through the season, halftime of next week is actually the, the exact halfway point. Well, what'd you see from especially, particularly those three guys on Sunday?
Yeah. Thanks for asking about that, Pete. Cause a lot of people, everybody focuses on the offense, and then we want to start yelling about the D coordinator, but how do things get done up and where it all starts is up front. And I think this team knows that they got to stockpile picks, and they got to stockpile good solid talent on the defensive line, whether it be the outside guys or whether it be the three guys with their hand in the dirt. And when I look at, like, you know, the second year guy and Wyatt, you know, last year it seemed like he was slow off the ball. He really didn't have anything other than a little bit of a bull and tried to rip a little bit. But what you see in this year is with him is much more quickness coming off the ball. I mean, it's a hair trigger at the snap. Nobody is better than Kenny Clark. If you watch the game closely and you watch the explosion off the ball at the snap of the ball, Kenny Clark is the best the Packers have, but not far behind it with that point of view or with that skill set is Wyatt. And this year he's developed a little arm over, certainly is much better at the point of attack, where last year he'd get driven back. And one of the things that why that's so important is if you think of it this way, the defensive tackle is 3 yards. Let's just say 3 yards backwards. Now the linebackers, their angles have to adjust. They can't get through there. They get caught up in the wash. And that does is add yards on the ground. So instead of it being a 2 yard, 3 yard gain, it's 5, 6, 7 yard gain, because they got to go climb over defensive tackles that are getting driven back, or they got to adjust their angles. When you have defensive tackles that play on the line of scrimmage and make it a neutral spot, linebackers can have more room to go and attack the football. Safeties get to attack the football. And what I've seen with Wyatt is just way better pad level and very, very good at the point of attack as far as getting driven back. And that's a big step. And that's what you know, especially when we're talking Quay Walker, OJ McDuffie, guys that are a little sticky when they get blockers on them, giving those guys the extra room to move is vitally important. And a lot of times, you know, there's not a lot of stats for defensive linemen, tackles and sacks, but sometimes a guy can have a superior football game and play awesome and not show up on the stat sheet because he's doing all the dirty work and all the other guys get all the cleanup glory work. So
yeah, let's talk about that just for a second, because I hadn't rewatched the game before you and I talked. So you talked about that you thought Wyatt had a really good game, and just watching the game live, you know, nothing that he did jumped out. When I watched the tape, watching the pass rushes, you know, they were just okay. He really didn't come close to getting a sack or anything. But what are some of the things that are easy to miss. One of the first things you brought up was the third play of the game where he didn't make the play, and actually the Packers missed the play, but he made a really, really good play that if Enagbare had played the thing better, they would have had a nice tackle for a loss. Can you go into some of that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of it is that they – you make it – when the defensive line, and he's – which is particularly Wyatt – when he's playing on the line of scrimmage and driving his guy back, what that does then is it adjusts the running back's route. Every running back has a track that they're going to take based on the play that's designed in the blocking scheme. But nobody accounts for offensive linemen getting pushed back 2 yards. So then what has to happen is the guy's got to either go run to the east and west is what you want. The play that you're talking about, Ingabari crashed down and he's standing right next to Wyatt and took himself out of the play when it could have been a really nice play because Wyatt drove the guy upfield and now the running back had to turn parallel versus north and south. So when everybody plays their spots, it's really, really good. But, you know, so that's one. And the other thing is when it comes down to pass rushing, you say, well, you know, guy didn't get a sack. But is the guard in the quarterback's face? Is the guard getting driven back or the center getting driven back? And now when the quarterback takes a step to go around, there's a defensive end standing there. Those are the things that you got to look at it for down linemen. It isn't – I mean, if you're – you know, not everybody is Aaron Donald that's going to possibly have an opportunity for double-digit sacks coming out with his hand on the ground in the inside. That's pretty tough to do because you're constantly getting double-teamed. But, you know, Wyatt has had over the course of the first half of the season has had some of those plays where he has been being disruptive in the passing game as well as the run game. And that's so important for a run defense, especially one that's kind of shaky the way it is, to make sure that those defensive linemen are taking things to the offensive line and getting those running backs running east and west versus north and south.
So what do you think of his – season so far? How much better a player is he than last year? What do you think the what's the ceiling with him, you think?
Well, you know, honestly, after last season I was thinking, holy cow, this is another Darrell Worthy type guy, or a guy that, you know, or, you know, there's a whole bunch of defensive tackles you can go into that are defensive linemen that they've drafted through the years and haven't panned out. But coming into training camp and watching some preseason games and then now in the regular season, he is light years of where he was last year. He's quick off the ball. He's got a nice arm over move when he does get off the ball good. He's sturdy against double teams. Nobody is perfect against double teams. I mean, but the best that you can ask for is to be very sturdy. And I would consider him to be that. Also, what I like about him is that he attacks the offensive lineman. He doesn't catch. And that's pretty that's a pretty good thing. And he's got the physical abilities to get some pressure up front. Now, you look at the other two guys, the two rookies that they got in there, Wooden and those, I mean, it's just – and Brooks, those guys are guys that are going to get upfield and be disruptive. They're a little bit sleekly built, a little bit more athletic, and that's kind of what they're there to do. And God dang it, you know, you see Brooks is getting his hands on the ball. You see Wooden getting sacks. There's a lot of really good upside to what they have with their front right there. Because, you know, going into the season, it's like, wow, where did ever, you know, they got rid of Reed, they got rid of Laurie. And, you know, it was like, wow, now you got a bunch of young kids in there. Hopefully it's going to work out. But they must have knew what they had, or they went to jettison those two fellas. They would have found a way to keep everybody on the squad. But I feel like it's a really young group, but they're really active. And they're not, you know, you can throw Slayton in there too. I know he's a third year guy, but he really, when he wants to, can take up some space. And those guys really are what's going to be the stepping stone to making this defense better against the run.
You know, it's funny, everybody, because head coaches always do this, and assistants too, I guess. They talk about the first to second year jump with players all the time, and they're expecting this jump from this guy or that. But I'm not so sure that more often the bigger jump is the second year to the third year, or that's the year, you know, where they become really good players. It's not the second season. It seems like a lot of times it's that third season where they,
yeah,
they take off.
But what you see is that first to second year jump is you see them settling down mentally. So what a lot of people don't understand, Pete, is that when you are playing a defense and the defense is called, and let's just say we're Wyatt and we're in a three technique, which is outside shade of the guard, and the tight end trades. So now our, you know, every defense has some rules. So do I go down to a one technique? Do I just tear into the B gap? Because that's probably what mine is going to be. Am I going to reduce down? Be, you know, like I said earlier, being one, was there a game on the weak side that now I got to remember now because the tight end moved and the strength is the opposite side of the football. Now, do I have to do that blitz or that game that was called for the weak side? Who's got contain is going to change how I rush the passer. Do we have an outside blitz? Do we have a pinch coming on? All these different things. And then they change. Every defense has rules that changes. So some defenses are, well, if the strength of the formation changes, the defense flips. So anything that was running to the weak side is now running to the weak side on the opposite side of the ball. So there's a lot of things that go on mentally. It's not just put your hand in the ground and go attack the guy in front of you. There's a lot because you see what happens when especially the Packers do it. There's gaps in the run fit because every defense is designed for every gap to have someone supposed to have be responsible for that gap. And you could have two guys in one gap and now it goes for a long ways. You could bust contain, you could rush the passer and give up your lane and you're supposed to be there or you go inside and there's nobody that's got the outside, you know, or is there a game? Is there an automatic game in certain formations? You know, there's a lot of things that go on that get heaped into these guys. And when you're coming from a good college program and you're a good player, chances are you didn't have a whole lot mentally to worry about. You were just set free. And now you're in the big leagues or you got to do your job and it's going to change. Could change based on formation, could change based on personnel, obviously motions. All that stuff comes into play and it slows you down. And what you saw last year was a young man who just was not fast off the ball. And that tells me he was thinking too much and not playing. Where you saw this year, you see the explosiveness. And now the step between year two and year three is going to be all the comfort levels of the defense is in his head. He's comfortable with it now. Now can he get his body physical and just play at an even more reckless pace? And that is, you know, that's what you're looking for a third year guy. And you're kind of seeing that with Slayton. Not everybody's going to come out of the chute and be an all pro. That's what the expectation is. Well, if you draft a guy, he should be in the Pro Bowl. Well, that's just not how it works. And when you're looking at those three young guys down there, you really got to feel good now. And what made everybody, I guess, in my opinion, when Clark exited the game early in the first half, there wasn't any let up. There wasn't anything that made you say, ooh, boy, they're really going to miss Clark. Now, they may when they play some better teams that have better offensive lines. But yet on Sunday afternoon, you did not feel and you didn't see a let off or a drop of play when they put in the younger fellows.
Yeah, you know, and I think I'm a little more leery than you are of this performance overall, both sides of the ball. I mean, the Packers played better for sure. Their defense really came through second half. They fumbled twice and Packers fumbled twice and the defense got stops both times. But I still, you know, you had Brett Rippon at quarterback and he's a third stringer. And it's just a couple plays are the difference in all these games. We saw that with, you know, Watson making the downfield play and how that flipped the game and put it away for the Packers. And they hadn't been making those plays earlier. You know, I just against better quarterbacks, it's going to be a lot tougher. So,
well, okay, let me stop you right there because they needed to come out and play this team and be dominant, and they gave up 3 points. That's about as good as it gets. And you know what? If the Rams would have made it a game and it would have been, you know, 20-17 or they, heaven forbid, they lose 21-20 or something like that, then you can really point to the defense and say, these guys are terrible. I mean, you got to go back to the drawing board. But they did what they're supposed to do. They kept the team to 3 points. I don't care who the quarterback was. I understand all that, and I get it, and I feel really – I mean, I understand it too. So to get super excited that they gave up 3 points. I'm not standing around, you know, lighting my hair on fire, running down the street, drinking chocolate milk, screaming that the Packers are great. All I'm saying is in this performance, they did what they had to do. And that's what all that you can expect from them on defense is to do that. Well, they're going to get in trouble. And I think, you know, it as well as everybody else does is when, you know, now it looks like the Vikings somehow found this quarterback out of somewhere, man, where the heck. They're going to be playing some good quarterbacks, and they're going to have to be able to be, you know, we're going to see him against the Chiefs. You know, that's going to, how is this secondary going to hold up to that? nobody knows. You got their two starting safeties probably are going to, could possibly be out. Well, we know one is out for sure. Rudy Ford, who knows what's going to hold up to him. But even with those two guys, I'm not so sure the secondary is going to hold up. And it's, for me, it's less about personnel and more about being vanilla in their coverage. And they don't jump around. They just, this is how we're going to do it. Devondre Campbell is going to help that. But it's all going to start with whether or not they can be successful on first and second down and hold up to the run. That's that. If they can do that going forward, they got a fighting chance. If not, then it's going to be ugly.
What's up? Let's flip something. Let's flip this to the other side of the ball and a real specific thing. Sean Ryan has been a guy that a lot of fans have been all over. Third round pick, whose last rookie year was a total bust, and you know, this year he didn't win a starting job. There wasn't a big opening, but you know, Runyon, I don't know that job was just handed to him. But here he comes in, plays 7 snaps in the first half when Runyon has to come out to get checked for an injury, and they go on, so their 41-yard touchdown drive. And look, it's such a small sample. Plus, he played eight snaps late in the game. But there might be a little something there with this guy. It just he was really solid, no bad plays. What'd you see there? Anything jump out in those 7 snaps?
Yes, I there are some things, and there's two things in particular. One, anyone who knows me or listens to me babble will understand the way I grade offensive linemen are two things. A, do they stay on their feet? And B, do they block to the whistle? Do they carry out their plays, or do they stop and stand around and look at the pile? Those are the first two things that when I'm looking at a raw player, no matter what level they're at, that's what I want to see. I want to see their balance and their footwork, and I want to be able to see whether or not they have a little tenacity and can get after it and block until finish their blocks. And that's one of the things that has not been very good for the Packers this season as a whole, is they don't finish their blocks as well as they may have had in the past, and their footwork's a little sloppy. But right, anyways, but back to Sean Ryan, what I liked about him, just the first thing that I noticed was that he blocks until he finishes the play. He blocks until the whistle blows, and he's tenacious about it. And that is really important for a young player. And that's going to – that coaching staff is going to see that performance and say, all right, you know, that's much better, and they're going to like that. The other thing is he showed good balance. When he had to move and go get someone, he was able to do it. He didn't make contact and fall down, got into traffic, and still was able to keep his feet. That's great. And, you know, on that touchdown drive, the last two plays, the touchdown and the play before it, he was manned up one-on-one with Aaron Donald and handled him. So, you know, that was interesting to see that. Whether or not you would have handled Aaron Donald of 2 years ago or, you know, 5 years ago versus today, because he's not the same. Still incredibly good football player. But, I mean, he stood in there toe-to-toe with him and went and got him, and that was good, and maintained his block and finished the play. Good stuff. And that's all you can ask for. And, you know, again, it's the same thing with linemen. They can go draft whatever highly touted left tackle. He's not going to be great out of the chute. There's very few of them that are great out of the chute. Offensive linemen and defensive linemen aren't born. They're made, and especially offensive linemen. It's hard work, and it's being smart and understanding what happens, because just like on offense, when you're playing line, things change quickly based on what the defense is going to do. If they show they're mugging up linebackers, there's a lot of different things that they don't have to account for at the collegiate level that coming in the pro level takes some guys a little bit longer to deal with. And when you saw, you know, those, again, small sample size, it was pretty good. And then, so at least they know they got a good backup, or maybe push next year for Runyon's job.
Yeah, I can't imagine they're going to be re-signing him. They still have their cap issues, and if they got a decent replacement, they'll make that change. The funny thing is, when we were talking today, you know, I brought up Ryan, and so we called up those plays, and on those two back-to-back plays with Donald on the first one, you know, it's a handoff to Jones, it's third and three, and he picks up like 5 yards, and you go, well, that's Aaron Donald. And I looked, and it was, and he did what I've learned. One of the things I've learned from you is, for a lineman to win on some of these run blocks, they need to engage the guy and then flip their hips so their back is to the gap where the guy's supposed to run through. And that's hard to do,
right?
And he did it to Aaron Donald on that play, and Jones ran right off Ryan's backside and picked up 5 yards on third and three.
Yeah, and his ability to turn, you know, when he got into he engaged and continued to press to the outside, or to his outside or inside shoulder, he pressed and pressed and turned and was able to turn his hips to the play. Aaron Donald couldn't even pursue to the football because he was completely beat. And I thought that was impressive to do that to that player.
Yeah. So it does make you, you know, if nothing else, I think we probably saw some of the athleticism that convinced Gutekunst to draft the guy in the third round. Now, we still don't know if he's going to pan out. Rasheed Walker really flashed some ability in his first game replacing Bakhtiari. And the more he played, the worse it got, and he eventually lost that starting job. But I don't know. It was just kind of interesting. Maybe that will be a starting guard for him next year. Who knows?
It could be. And, you know, you never know. Or there's an injury, you know, at either guard spot. Now, I think you feel pretty good about sliding him in.
He looks so much better than Newman. It does make you wonder, why wasn't this guy playing instead of Newman earlier in the year?
Well, you know, let's face it. You got to look, you know, if you're a coach and you got a guy that started almost an entire season versus a guy that's never started, you're probably going to give it to that guy first, right? Versus the young kid, unless it's just head and shoulders.
That's where coaches, if you don't mind me interjecting here, that's where coaches drive scouts nuts is. And just being an outside observer, you know, it's two different perspectives between scouts and coaches. But coaches almost always go with the known thing and the guy who they feel like knows what he's doing. And I think they make a lot of mistakes that way because they leave, you know, a more talented guy doesn't play. And they put in a guy who's just like, I've heard scouts and personnel people say, like GMs say, you know, we had to trade this guy because the coach, you know, I had to take him away from the coach because the coach kept playing him and the backup was better.
Yeah. And it's coaches, football players are creatures of habit, and you have a guy in there that's done it versus, you know, and the spotlight is so bright. And you only have 16 games. And if you make a mistake, you know, not only, especially if you think about it on the offensive line, you get a $20 million guy back there in all likelihood. Are you going to put a rookie back there that hasn't done it before versus a guy who has? You know, so that's probably, that plays into it some of it from a coaching point of view is, you know, I want to make sure my quarterback is upright and certainly like to have him finish the game at least.
So, we can't go a week without talking about Jordan Love, because that is, after all, in the end, that's what
I know. It's so painful, though.
That's what matters most is you got to find it. You can't win this league without a pretty decent quarterback. And the better he is, the more leeway you have for making mistakes and all of that, because they can overcome them. So anyway, Jordan Love, game 8. What did you think of his performance in this one? He had a passer rating of 105 point something. What did you think?
115.5, Mr. Doherty. Yes, it's the same thing that we've talked about. There, I think on the deep throws, he's still passing and needs to just let it rip. And I think there are times where he doesn't hit the windows that he's supposed to. Where there's guys running crossers. So here's the challenge with the crosser, right? You got two backers. You got to throw it so you get it. You know, you got to think about it from a quarterback's point of view. You're throwing to a spot because he might be in, you know, 5 yards, 10 yards away from where he's going to catch the ball, depending on how deep he is, right? So you got to hit the windows and you got to make sure and you got to feel comfortable, A, that you can make the throw, and B, that your guy's going to be there. So I saw that a little bit where there are some crossers over the middle that he could have got, but just didn't. But I mean, 20 for 26, you want to complain about his accuracy and he missed six throws? Come on. And nobody's perfect. No, I mean, we are so spoiled from being, whether you're in the media or you're a fan, watching Aaron Rodgers and even the great Aaron Rodgers missed throws, but nobody scrutinized them like we did a couple of years ago before he got the two MVP seasons. Because he's Aaron Rodgers. This guy hasn't earned he's Jordan Love. And he hasn't. But the reality is he's not as bad as as people want to play it out. Yeah, you know what? You got to give him a year and a half before you can make a final judgment on what do you think you're going to get. You know, I go back to this all the time, and people are probably sick of me. Josh Allen, first season in the league, 10 TDs, 15 interceptions. Just right now, Jordan Love, it'd be hard for Jordan Love to be that bad. It really would. So now Josh Allen is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think a lot of people really like him. I like him. There's a lot to like about the guy. There's a lot to like about Jordan Love, too. Just needs to get some success and pile up some wins. If he goes 20 for 26 the rest of the season and they win a bunch of games, he's awesome. But if he goes 20 for 26 and they win three more games, now he's the GOAT, right? He sucks. He's terrible. So it's so easy to look at the wins and losses and some of the stuff and not focus on the little things that are that make him, I think, an okay quarterback to date. Is he a franchise quarterback? Yeah, it's way too early to tell. Unfortunately, he's not one of the guys. You know, there are some quarterbacks that come out and they're just great right out of the chute. Most of them struggle a little bit, and I think that's the case here with him. You know, it's gonna. He had the game hasn't slowed down to him. And I remember, it was second season of Aaron Rodgers starting, and he was playing in Kansas City, where that first game, where I felt the game slowed down for him, and the Packers offense opened up. You know, McCarthy was his first year was really digital. You go back and look at those games.
Oh, he had him on training wheels that first year.
Yep. They cut the field into three, and that's, you're going to use this third, or this third, and that's it. And all of their routes were designed. They basically were level routes. So you had a short, medium, and a deep option, and then something crazy going on the backside that nobody paid attention to after week four, and then they figured it out. But then you saw him progress to where all of a sudden, it was the whole field was open up to him. And that Kansas City game, I thought, was like, holy cow. That was, it's there now. So whether or not Jordan Love is going to get to that point, I don't know. But the game has to slow down for him. And when it does, and he still can't make the throws, or if it never slows down to him, yeah, then you got to move on. But you got to give him time to have the game slow down a little bit.
You know, it's funny. I was talking with a scout about him last week, and because the accuracy issue. So I was asking him about that. And he said, look, you know, the accuracy will probably never be one of his big strengths. I mean, Rodgers was as accurate as you're ever going to find. So that's a big contrast for, you know, that's pretty tough to match that no matter who you are. But he said, you know, I don't know that it'll ever be a big strength of his, but he said, he's accurate enough. If he doesn't make it, if he's not good enough, it won't be because of that. It'll be because he can't play fast enough, or as the way you put it, the game just never slows down enough for him. He said that, you know, he thinks that because that's basically what does in most of these guys. Most quarterbacks fail is because you got to be able to play lightning fast, and there's not many people who can do that and who also have the arm talent and all that to play the position.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have a lot of skills. Anybody can throw the football. That much is certain. But can you read a defense? Can you make a split-second decision? And do it hard, you know. Do it with authority. That's the challenge.
So last thing, Steelers this week. I don't have to make my pick officially till late in the week. I think the Steelers, I thought I saw yesterday, 3.5-point favorite maybe.
That's it?
I think so. What are you seeing?
Well, I think the defense is going to definitely have, they're going to see another good running back, or at least I think a good running back. But offensively, it's good. There's some names over there that are going to have to play, they're going to have to fight through some of that stuff. And whether or not they're, because the Steelers are, they run to the football and they get to the ball in a hurry. So that's going to be interesting to see if they can maintain the same level of commitment to the running game. And I think that's what's so important, is to have a commitment to run versus just, we're just going to go out there and run just to go through the motions. So offensive linemen love it. Obviously running backs love it too, but the thing they got going for them is honestly they got Jones back, and Jones is he put the ball in his, he had 24 touches yesterday. That's pretty, and it could have had more if he would have caught that one screen pass. So there are, having him is just night and day, and they took the training wheels off him this week and just let him go free. So that's positive for the Packers. But again, the commitment to run the football and try to get those aggressive linebackers and those aggressive safeties to come up, and there's going to be opportunities. Whether or not the quarterback is going to hit them ones downfield, that's, I think everything that goes beyond 10 yards is a 50-50 throw right now. But whether or not they can allow – make those things happen through the running game and sucking up safeties is going to be – really important. Or are they just going to play an umbrella defense and let this guy throw 10 yards down the field and then try to, throw a 10-yard pass when it's all packed into the end zone? That's remains to be seen. But there's got to be a big play. There's got to be a big long touchdown pretty soon. You just kind of feel it coming. And, it's got to happen. If they're going to beat the Steelers, they're going to have to be aggressive and they're going to have to push the ball down the field.
Yeah, not a world-beating Steelers team. I mean, Kenny Pickett at quarterback, he's still a very young guy learning the ropes. So it will be a really interesting game. But we've hit the time limit here, Eric, so going to wrap this up. Just want to thank everybody for joining us and remind you that we'll be back again next week with to talk about our film review of the Packers game at Pittsburgh. Until then, everybody, just want to say thanks again for coming by. And you've been listening to the After Further Review podcast. For Eric, I'm Pete. Take care, everybody.
Have a good night.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.